Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, just a delight to be in the studio to answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and around the world. You can contact us on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up, we'll talk to Brian. He's listening in Price, Utah, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is, how was Satan able to sin?
Well, God created Satan. He created the angels as volitional beings, very much as he created humans as volitional beings. And so they had the prerogative to either serve God or to not serve God, to love God or not love God. And as I said many times on this broadcast, without that, love would be rendered meaningless. For love to be meaningful, it has to be love via volition. In other words, it has to be of the will. So God created angels. They could act or act otherwise, and a third of the angels followed Satan in a rebellion against God. So God, again, creates the potential for evil. The angels actualize that evil. And as a result of that, they are now separated from God. That's not a spatial communication or a spatial moniker. What I'm talking about here is they're separated because there's a break in fellowship. I'm not talking about location, but relation. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bury us next in Missouri. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate your ministry and your program very, very much. I'm a Baptist minister, and first of all, I'd never marry two men and two women, period. It's unbiblical. It's unscriptural. But the way I was trained up in Bible college and seminary is my pastor always, and still to this day, requires that if someone's going to be married, when you come for your ceremony, you bring your marriage license with you. And he's always said, and I agree with him, I won't marry you if you don't have it with you. But it seems today that there are a lot of pastors that are doing, and you had a caller a while back that talked about doing a holy matrimony kind of service where maybe it's a widow and a widower, and rather than lose Social Security or whatever, they don't get married in the eyes of the government, they just get married, in their view, in the eyes of God. Do you think, number one, is it biblical? And number two, do you think it's going to be a bigger temptation for pastors to no longer require a marriage license and just do a spiritual marriage in the culture?
Yeah, it may be a temptation, and I haven't really thought through this fully, but let me just off the top give you my perspective on this. Marriage is a profound parable. It is a witness of Christ and his bride. And so I think because of the poignancy of that parable, we don't keep it in mothballs, we don't keep it secluded, but we're saying in the eyes of not only the church, but the eyes of the world, I am unifying myself with this person until death do part. So I think that there's a good reason why you're married, not just in the eyes of the church in a secret ceremony, but in the eyes of the state as well. It is a profound testimony to the world. So what has same-sex marriage done? It has provided a perversion of marriage to the world. But I don't think we need to abdicate now the reality of marriage, but rather we need to trumpet the reality of marriage and what true marriage is, not only for civil society, but for the body of Christ as well. This is, again, not a trifling matter. As I've said many times, it is the central pillar on the foundation of life. I mean, there are a number of pillars. You have the church, you have government, but marriage is a central pillar instituted by God at the very beginning of creation. And so, yeah, I don't think that this should be something we do in secret, but rather something we shout from the housetops.
And, you know, it was something that I was thinking about. I know other pastors have been asked this question, where someone has, you know, not been married legally in the eyes of the state with a marriage license, but just, you know, before a minister in a private ceremony, and then they split up, and the question then becomes, are we divorced or are we still married?
Exactly.
In the eyes of the state, obviously you wouldn't be, but in the eyes of God, and it just becomes a big mess.
Yeah, well said, Pastor. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I appreciate your call. I mean, these are all issues that we have to think through with great clarity, and things are changing quickly, and we, as I mentioned earlier, have to continue to be a light, not a light under a bushel, but a light on a hill, and we need to be salt. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Pagans are going to exercise their job description. As Christians, we need to exercise ours, being ambassadors for Jesus Christ, not secret agents that have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world, but rather ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Next up, Pameshkin, listening in Aurora, Colorado. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have three questions. My daughter is going to college. She has a doubt on her salvation, and because she's not studied the Bible. And I needed some books. What do you recommend? Number one. Number two, how do you become like you are? How do you study the Bible? I want to really to study a Bible. What do you recommend? Number three, what's the Ethiopian Orthodox Church belief in Trinity, if you had any research on it?
Yeah,
Thank you, sir.
Sure. The last question first. They believe in one God, revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. So they believe in the biblical notion of God. God is very, very clearly communicated as one in Scripture, one in terms of his essence and nature, but three in terms of person or identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. So if you read the Bible, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and they're eternally distinct. Now, as I've indicated on the show and in other places, I can't comprehend that, but I can apprehend that. That's what the Bible very clearly teaches. But I would not want to serve a God that I could fully comprehend. That God would be too small. There's no contradiction, because when we say God is one, we're talking about essence. When we say that God is three persons, we're not talking about essence, but we're talking about identity. We're talking about relationships within the Godhead. So a good way of putting it is one what and three whos. If the Bible said there's one who and three whos, that's a contradiction. But when the Bible talks about one what and three whos, that's not a contradiction at all. Furthermore, in terms of books, a book which is fantastic, it's a book on origins. It's called God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe. That's the apologetic question, the question of origins. Very important book, and I think it will inoculate your daughter against some of what she'll hear when she goes to university. Secondly, we need to realize that the God who created the universe is not just transcendent, but he is knowable. And he demonstrated his reality through the immutable fact of his resurrection from the dead, had the power to lay down his life and take it up again, thus demonstrating that he is God. So a book on the evidence for resurrection is very helpful. I provide that in various places. So one book I wrote about this was called Resurrection. Also, I have a book called Afterlife. Both would be very helpful in this regard. And the third is demonstrating that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. I wrote a book called Has God Spoken? And in that book, I counter most of the objections that are raised to Christianity by secular university professors. So it will really help because it gives not only the evidence for the authority of Scripture, but it goes to your third question, not in that order, but the third that I'm addressing right now, which is, how do you read the Bible properly? And that's the art and science of biblical interpretation. And in that book, the last part of that book, I deal with how you learn to read the Bible correctly, so that when the professor says the Bible's contradicted itself, you know, we'd say, well, no, not really. Here's how to read literature in general, but read the Bible in particular. So those books, I think, would be the most helpful books, and you can find all of them on the web at equip.org.
Thank you. You answered my question. I don't want to hold you. Thank you.
You got it. And we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions.
Fatal torment, empty tomb, appearances of Christ, transformation. These four witnesses prove the resurrection of Christ, the central truth of Christianity, and our only hope of heaven. Hank's book, The Third Day, examines the historical facts in depth to help you defend your faith and rejoice in your own coming resurrection. The Third Day is our thank you for your gift today to help produce more Bible Answer Man broadcasts and other truth-affirming CRI resources. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to request your copy today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Becky listening in Houston, Texas. Hi, Becky.
Hi. My question for you today, I'm a benefits specialist, and it's my job to help our employees at the company I work for to apply for their benefits and obtain, you know, medical, dental, vision, that kind of thing, including their spouses. I have a huge problem with that. I don't think because it's legal it's necessarily right. So what do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I mean,
I go so far as to lose my job?
Well, I think, though, that you don't want to be unkind to anyone. We want to help those who God places in our path. And in the process of doing that, we become a witness for Jesus Christ. It is very much like giving a cup of cold water or a piece of bread to someone. And through that, we earn the right to share the truth and the grace and the love that Jesus Christ brings to the human soul. So we have to look at the world. They are doing what they do because they are in a different kingdom. You do what you do because you're in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you don't want to withhold bread and water, but you want to give along with your kindness and your graciousness and all of the gifts that God has given you that you can enrich another person by. You want to also give them the testimony of the gospel, the testimony of the gospel, not just through what you say, but by the way in which you conduct your life. And so through that, they become salt in the oats where they say, wow, I am really thirsty now. I want to know what makes you live your life the way you do. So instead of setting up a we they siege mentality against the world, we're in the world, not of the world, but we are trying to be a leavening force. But we do that with grace and with gentleness and with respect. But I don't think that we have to withdraw our kindness because we disagree with someone.
Oh, and I wouldn't ever be rude or even unloving because I feel like God put me in this job. I've been able to help people and pray with them and comfort them in times of need.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But still have a problem saying, so sure, I can sign you up and your same-sex spouse.
Yeah, I don't think that you have much choice in the matter given your occupation. And, you know, I can't change anybody's behavior or anybody's life, and nor would I want to withhold benefits from them. But when the heart changes, everything else changes as well. And I think that's really what we ultimately are striving to do. The culture is in the free fall that the culture is in, not because pagans are being pagans, but Christians aren't being Christians. You think about the percentage of homosexuals in the country today. It's a very small percentage of the population, and yet they have enormous clout in the population. You might argue that today they even have an iron boot. You either submit or we'll crush you kind of a boot. And so you have a small portion of the population advancing their agenda such that the whole of the population is capitulating. Now turn that around and think of what could happen if Christians were indeed what we are called to be. Not baptized secular humanists or people who are seeking to turn God into a cosmic genie, but genuine believers, change agents, not imitators of the culture, but rather initiators in the culture. If that happened, we wouldn't be discussing what we're discussing today. We'd have a completely different paradigm.
Very true.
Well, I appreciate talking to you, and I'm certain that the Lord will continue to use you and your lovely disposition in terms of touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. But it sounds like the position of your job does not cause you to sin by working with same-sex couples to receive benefits. You are not necessarily condoning same-sex marriage in what you're doing. You are continuing to demonstrate that you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Brian, listening in Garden City, Kansas. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Yeah, Hank, my question, you were talking, there was a caller had a question about Nephilim, and their question was whether or not the Nephilim were the offspring of angels or demons and humans. Mm-hmm. And you had talked about, you know, how neither an angel nor a demon could take on the human form, and so it would be impossible or improbable for that to be an offspring of anything other than two humans. And so my question is, you know, in verses like Hebrews 13:2, where it says, you know, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, where, you know, in doing so, some have entertained an angel. And so that verse makes me think that, you know, there are times when an angel has taken on a human form, and, you know, humans have shown hospitality, thereby entertaining or, you know, helping essentially the angel. I'm just trying to reconcile all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're correct in what you say, but I don't think that I've ever said that angels could not take on form. If I did, it was a slip of the tongue. I've consistently said that angels not only can, but have taken on form, and there's ample evidence for that in Scripture. What I have said is that fallen angels cannot take on form. And the reason is that fallen angels do not have creative prowess. They don't have the ability to create bodies and fertile sperm and have sex with women. God, by his own prerogative, can give angels temporary form. Why? Because God does have creative prowess. So there's a distinction between a fallen angel who cannot create and a God who can create. So you're right to say that the Bible is replete with angelophanies, or the appearance of angels in human form, but there's no evidence that Satan can take on human form. And as I pointed out before, if in fact Satan could take on form, or one of his minions, then they could have masqueraded as the resurrected Christ. And then when Jesus said, as an argument against that, a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I have, it would have been a faulty argument, number one. And, you know, if in fact they could take on form, you lose epistemic warrant for a central event in Christianity. Now it's not Jesus that they're seeing, but it is a demon masquerading as Jesus. So there are all kinds of attendant problems in suggesting that fallen angels can have sex with women.
Okay, can I just ask a quick follow-up?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about the Antichrist? Because that would be a demon or... you see what I'm saying?
Well, there's a difference between a person who is possessed by the devil and the devil taking on physical form. We're not suggesting that people cannot be possessed by demons. I've said on the broadcast, Christians can't be possessed by demons, but certainly people in the kingdom of Satan can give their lives more and more over to Satan, which is a way of talking about being possessed by Satan. So no question whatsoever that there are evil men who have so given themselves over to the kingdom of darkness that they become the personifications of evil. But Antichrist, of course, is something not talked about anywhere in the Bible except John's epistles, where he says that Antichrist is anyone who says that Jesus has not come in the flesh, and therefore goes on to say, already many Antichrists have come. And so in every epoch, there are Antichrist institutions and individuals who deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and they oppose Christ. They oppose the principles of the kingdom.
Okay. Yeah, well, hey, we appreciate the perspective, yeah.
Well, I appreciate the conversation. You know, it's a question I've answered many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It is one that comes up over and over again. And because of that, I actually did an entry on it, which is far more complete than my answers on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It's in my book, The Creation Answer Book. And certainly, if you want a copy of that, we can send you, you know, a copy from the book, or you can get the book on the web at equip.org.
Okay, we'll check it out. Thank you.
You got it. And we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500. Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.